"It is good." And they fasten it with nails so it cannot be removed. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, and you, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand."
So throughout this season of Advent, we have explored the question, "What do you fear?" And each week we have discussed different ways to respond to fear. Today we consider this: when you're afraid, give me your hand. When you're afraid, give me your hand. Our Advent readings have shown that each of the biblical characters in the Christmas story has been fearful, and that each one of them has sought connection. The same is true for Joseph, Mary's fiancé. Listen for God's word to you from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means 'God is with us.' When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. In 2006, I flew from Indiana to Albuquerque, New Mexico, for an interview with the church there for a pastoral position. It was springtime. I soon learned that spring in New Mexico is very different than spring most anywhere else in the United States. Frankly, spring in New Mexico is horrible. It is very windy, which makes it dry and cold, and the wind raises terrible dust storms. I also learned that flying into Albuquerque at this time of year is tricky. The day that I flew in for my interview was no different. Our pilot warned that it was going to be a rough approach to the Albuquerque airport, so the passengers needed to buckle up. I've never been on a flight like this before or after. The plane felt like it was falling from the sky. It was dropping, then straightening, then dropping again. And every time that plane dropped, some poor woman on the flight screamed. It wasn't me, I promise. This screaming made everything worse, of course. Now, I was sitting next to this nice older woman, and we had talked some when the flight began, but we were strangers. So I was very surprised to find, when the plane finally landed safely, that she and I were holding hands. I have no conscious memory of doing this, but I guess in our fear and desperation, we grabbed onto each other and held on tight. We laughed about it when we landed. Then we exited the plane, said goodbye, and never saw each other again. But I have never forgotten her, that nice stranger who held my hand when I thought I was going to die in a plane crash. When you're afraid, give me your hand. That is today's answer to our Advent question of what do you fear? When you're afraid, give me your hand. How do you respond to fear? Do you isolate yourself or do you seek connection with a loved one or maybe even with a stranger sitting next to you on the plane? It's fascinating that in today's reading from Matthew's gospel, Joseph was afraid. The first thing the angel said to him was, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." On the surface, at least, Joseph had all the power in this story. He had all the privilege that a patriarchal system had to offer. He was a man whose fiance had done him wrong, showing up pregnant with a child that was not his. According to religious law, Mary could be stoned to death. Scripture says that Joseph was a righteous man. Therefore, he was also a religious man, familiar with the law. At the same time, he was also a good man. Matthew wrote that he was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, and his plan was to dismiss her quietly. A plan which was meant to save him face and to protect Mary all at the same time. And still, the text says that despite his careful plans, Joseph, this righteous man, this good man, was afraid. It's hard to know the nature of his fears. Did he have fear of social stigma, fear of the shame that these two families would bear, fear of breaking off the engagement, fear of being alone, unmarried? But what if Joseph's fear was something altogether different? What if Joseph's fear was rooted in a fear of God's plan? Matthew carefully noted two times in this short reading that Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Two times Matthew emphasized the miraculous nature of Mary's pregnancy, and the angel made it clear that he had no intention of letting Joseph off the hook. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Maybe Joseph was fearful of the consequences of stepping up as the adoptive father to this child of God's in a day and a time when the mention of a Messiah, a new king of the Jews, dramatically increased the risk of running afoul of the Roman Empire. Maybe Joseph's fear was less about the shame of it all and maybe more about the consequences of accepting this new responsibility. Maybe. So I have a nativity set that I love. I found it at an antique store long ago. It's from Mexico, highly decorated with gold paint. It's pretty, and there are quite a few pieces in the set. So it took me a while to realize that the figure of Joseph is missing. I've been using this figure as a stand-in for Joseph. Now, both Mary and Jesus are wearing halos, and this guy has no halo. So maybe I should have realized sooner that this is not Joseph. My substitute Joseph is white-haired, which I've attributed to his age and his wisdom. And at the same time, this figurine is pretty beat up. Substitute Joseph has seen some things. And at some point, he had a tragic accident because he's missing his left forearm and hand. Originally, he might have been a shepherd or maybe an angel, but it's kind of hard to tell. At my house, he's Joseph. And that seems a good theological fit for the biblical story, because Joseph, the substitute, is an adoptive father, just like the biblical Joseph. In the Gospels, Joseph also plays a quiet background role in the birth of Jesus. He's completely silent in Scripture. He has no voice at all. You can look it up if you like, but you will find that Joseph never speaks a word. Nonetheless, he is incredibly important to the story. He was present. When it mattered, Joseph showed up. We could even say that he answered God's call. The angel urged him to wed Mary, and he did so. He extended a hand to her and to Jesus in spite of his fear. And then he quietly went about his life, serving as husband to Mary and father to Jesus. Luke's gospel tells this story. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents lost him in Jerusalem. You probably know this story if you grew up in the church. They searched for Jesus for days before finding him in the temple. And when they found him, Mary said this to Jesus, "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Your father and I. Joseph was Jesus' father, his adoptive father, throughout his life. When Joseph listened to the angel, he changed the course of his life. He chose connection rather than isolation. He chose to protect and to defend Mary and Jesus rather than to attack and to judge them. He chose Mary's dignity and Jesus' safety rather than his own pride. In offering his hand, he made a brave choice which altered not only his own history, but also that of his family's. Joseph set aside his own power and privilege to partner with Mary. The Reverend Dr. Bo-Young Lee wrote this in a commentary in our Advent devotional. She wrote, "There are people in our communities today who, like Mary, carry something sacred and heavy, something that puts them at risk. And there are others, like Joseph, who hold more security, more safety, more voice." Advent invites us not simply to be not afraid, but to act with love in the midst of fear, not to fix everything, but to show up with courage, to reach out and say, "Give me your hand," end quote. Advent calls us to pay attention, to notice the ones in our midst who, like Mary, carry something sacred and heavy. Advent calls us to act with love in spite of our fear, to reach out and to say, "Give me your hand." We may need a hand ourselves. We probably always need a hand. And we are also called to reach out, to offer a hand to someone else who might be carrying something sacred and heavy. And oh, there are a lot of those people right now, aren't there? Our immigrant neighbors, our LGBTQ friends, our trans friends and family, people of color. There are so many people who are living in fear, people who are in danger, people who need a hand now more than ever. Mary said yes to God, but so did Joseph. And that is our ongoing call as well, to say yes to God and to offer a hand in spite of our own fear. Amen.